I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5. While you're getting there, the title of my sermon is Contagious Christianity. Contagious Christianity. When I think of something that's contagious, the first thing that comes to mind is really the common cold. When it comes to it, we've all experienced it. Each one of us has had it. We try to avoid it as much as possible. But unfortunately, that's sometimes the way we get it, and there's a lot of reasons. It says in the U.S. alone that over hundreds of millions catch the cold each year, causing 60 million lost days of school and 50 million lost days of work. It says that the stats say that there's $25 billion of lost productivity as a result of the common cold. This is a simple common cold. To make up for that, we as Americans, I have a choice drug, over-the-counter drug that I take. We spend $5 billion a year to try to remedy this cold. You know, it's incredible. I go for NyQuil when it's a really bad cold, and it knocks me out at night, and I'm able to sleep, and that helps me get the cold over with. It says that colds are the largest leading factor of people going to the doctor. And with the doctors, they typically do, they give you the antibiotic, which they say over 60% of the times they give it to them, which is just for despite the fact that the bacteria are involved in only 2% of the colds. So the cold hard facts are this. Contagious Christianity, with a cold, it says that a single cold virus can have 16 million offspring within a 24-hour period. That's pretty blessed offspring there. His quiver is full, very much so. And then with that combined with a sneeze can go out at the speed of 100 miles per hour, okay? So when it comes to contagious stuff, the cold is pretty clear why we always catch it. And if we could have that kind of contagious Christianity, it would be amazing if we just could catch the cold and just start sneezing over everybody. If we could sneeze in our hands instead of our armpit, if we could sneeze and start in our hands and start touching all the doorknobs, you know, and they spread the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody. We touch the banisters, we touch everything that's all the door handles on the cars out in the. Just spread it like contagiousness. It would be great to be able to do that, and then everybody would catch the cold. And everybody would have the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's not like that. When Paul was writing the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, where we're going to be starting to read, I believe he was trying to talk about how to have that kind of Christianity, a contagious Christianity, a Christianity that people say, you know what? You've got something special. Can you tell me what this is about? I want to catch what you have right now. So, when it comes down to it, to be contagious, to be able to convey a message of faith that is contagious, it's not just in our words alone. The stats that I've come across say that there's 55% of our communication is not even verbal. That's why PowerPoints are so important, and illustrations and such. It says that 38% of our communication is just in the tone alone. And that's easily described when I think about my dog, Daisy. She's a boxer, and I love her to death. She's a good companion for the boys. She's kind of ditzy at times, though. She gets in the kitchen because she just thinks about food only. So when I want to get Daisy's attention, I don't yell at her. I talk to her in a tone that she can understand. And she doesn't understand English one bit. But when I say, "Hey, Daisy, come here," I could say it as simple as, "Daisy, you stupid dog," and she would come immediately because that's who she is. She understands the tone. And that's what the stats are saying, that 38% of communication is just in the tone. And then that leaves only 7% in the actual words. 7% in the actual words. So if you're getting up on your soapbox and you're trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I commend you. Do it with all. But you know what? We need to have other things backing us up with the communication. of spreading the gospel and having a contagious Christianity.
Francis
of Assisi was credited as saying, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." It's a pretty powerful statement, and we're not sure through history if that was truly what he said, but it's a powerful statement nonetheless. It says, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." There is a statement that he did say that was very clearly his, because it was in his writings. It says, "It's no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching." In other words, we need to walk our talk. To have a contagious Christianity, we need to walk our talk. Ephesians 5, 1 through 17, we're going to, if you've already turned there, I'm sure you guys have had time, you can turn on your Bibles or turn in your Bibles with me. It says this, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for the God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Verse 5, For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath has come upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention them, what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it is said, 'Wake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." The book of Ephesians is a prison epistle where Paul's in prison and he's writing to different areas where he's been to preach the gospel. And Ephesus was a great place of commerce at this time. And Paul was in prison. And I want you to understand that most scholars would say that the church at this time, when Paul was writing the letter, the church at this time was a healthy church. It was a church that did not have that much trouble. And Paul was just giving them encouragement to do the right thing. So these words in chapter 5 are really going to a church that understands the gospel. They understand that they were saved by grace. They understand what Christ came and did. So here he is writing to this church. And I say that as a result of two different verses in Ephesians. Ephesians 1:1 says this. Let me get that up here. Didn't have that one pulled up. Ephesians 1:1. If someone has that in their Bible, if they could help me out with reading that, that would be great. Is anybody willing to do that? Ken? Thank you.
"Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus."
So Paul is addressing them as faithful. You don't address just anybody as faithful, and I believe that he's calling them saints for a reason. There's no question that the church at Ephesus understood the gospel. They were not totally misled. And Paul is preaching to them at this time saying, you know what? Here's some words of encouragement for you to have a contagious faith, contagious Christianity. 1:15 says this. Same chapter.
It says, okay, again, we got to understand, Paul is in prison. He's writing these words to the church of Ephesus, okay? This is before there was CNN. There was before Fox News. It was before there was any kind of satellites or any kind of communication. No CBs, smoke signals. I don't know. They might have done that. But really, when it comes down to it, this is before any kind of major communication was given. So this verse is very key for us to understand why I understand that perhaps the church at Ephesus was a very healthy church. It says, "This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints." Paul's writing in the beginning and saying, you know what, I've heard about what's happening. I'm in prison. I'm behind bars. I'm not able to go out and hear all the commerce of what's going on. But you know what, I hear about what you're doing. And it's pretty clear there's something good about that. Most people would say that this is the church that John was writing about in Revelation. John wrote the book of Revelation, and when it comes down to it, John wrote to, was caught up in a vision. And he was talking about several different churches. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, it states this. It says, "You have lost your first love," talking about the church of Ephesus, okay? "You have lost your first love, and consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." So, more than likely, this church that John is talking about in the book of Revelation is one that has fallen away from where Paul was writing in the book of Ephesus at this time. So the timeline is clear that at this time, they were really close to the Lord. They had a first love that was pretty clearly identifiable. And that's I want you to get that understanding, because sometimes in our lives with our Christian walk, we get really comfortable with understanding that, oh, I've been in church all my life. Or, you know what, I'm pretty faithful to my church. I'm an elder of the church. I have a place in my church where I have a position where I make an impact in my church. Well, Paul was inspired by the Lord to write these words to the church of Ephesus, to people that were in that position. And sometimes we need to be reminded of how to have a contagious Christianity. So let's go on and dissect exactly what Paul was saying in verse 1 through 17. The first part he talks about is walking in love. Walking in love. 1 through 6 talks about that. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love." I think it's as simple as this, to follow God's example. If we were perfect in doing that, we wouldn't need any other direction at all. Walking in love is clear. Now, unfortunately, our English language kind of diminishes the word love. And I can sometimes say that I love my dog, and I can say I love Rocky Road ice cream, which I really do. I love Rocky Road ice cream. And I can say I love my wife. And there's three different kinds of love there, you know. And I would think it would be a dishonor for me to say that I love my wife like I love my dog, because that's not the same kind of love. But when it comes down to it, we need to walk in love. And it's a philo kind of love, a brotherly love, is what this is talking about. It's referring to Jesus, God. We need to follow God's example in walking in love by seeing what He did. And what did He do? He gave His Son, Jesus. He gave us what we needed. We were lost without Jesus. Jesus was the only way for us to have eternal life. And as a result, God knew this and said, you know what? I want to give you a gift. I want to give you my Son, Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. When I was married, a little over 20 years ago, we gave each other rings. And it was a gift for each other to signify our love for one another. And God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to signify to help us in what we needed. When it comes down to it, we need to give. Love is not just a little warm, fuzzy feeling as we have as junior hires in school, where we get the starry eyes and look across the
cafeteria and see the girl and we're like, oh, that's wonderful. No, that's not the love we're talking about. We're talking about a love of action. Love is a verb and takes action. And what God did is we need to follow His example in giving something. God gave His Son, we need to give as well. And to have contagious Christianity, it says that we need to give. So we need to give. It's not a selfish act. We don't need just to give to our family and to those that are close to us. We need to give to our neighbors and perhaps those that are not as desirable. You could give someone a call and give them words of encouragement if you don't have the opportunity to get out there and do something more. You can give someone a ride to church and help get someone the opportunity to hear the gospel being preached. You can give a present to someone who may not receive a present, typically. I think that's why God has required us as the true faith is to giving to widows and orphans. Those are the people that typically are left on the outside or not accepted. And we need to look and be purposeful in being able to love and give. We can give by inviting someone over to our house and inviting them to understand Christ's love. Being hospitable. Ephesians 5, 7 through 14, it says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. First, we need to walk as in love. And secondly, we need to walk as children of light. Verse 7 through 14 says this. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. So we got to walk in light. How do you walk in light when it comes down to it? What light here, actually it said, the first part of verse 7 says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Sometimes is the Greek word there, it says pote. It actually means formerly. You were formerly darkness. It doesn't say you were formerly affected by darkness or you were formerly a victim of darkness. Paul is being very specific with his terminology here. He's saying you were darkness. Because when it comes down to before we had Christ in us, before we accepted Christ, we were a part of the bad side. Christ came so we could become light. And what does light represent? Well, it says it there in the quotation marks of what Paul has. It says, the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The goodness is basically talking about walking in love, like we've already discussed. Walking in love, our being good to our fellow man, being good to those around us. Secondly, to be able to be a part of light, being in light, walking in the light, we need to have righteousness. And that's mainly referring to our relationship to God. When it comes down to it, we need to pray as a way of life, not as just a way of emergencies in our lives. This is the way God has designed for us to communicate to Him. So it's this basic stuff. We need to pray. It's not optional for a believer to not pray. It's not just a time for us just to sit and pray for our meals. It's not just a time for us to pray when we just need Him. God desires for us to be in fellowship with Him throughout the day, all the time. And this is the righteousness. This is how we walk in light. If we're going to walk in light, we need to be praying. Very consistently. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Secondly, we need to be studying His Word. We need to be in it regularly. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a worker that need not to be ashamed. We need to be pouring into His Word and opening it up and just having this living Word speak back to us. Because really, when it comes down to it, this word is for you today as much as it was to the recipients that He wrote it to. He wants to speak to us through His word.
And thirdly, something that a lot of us sometimes kind of are a little afraid of, and I can understand, because sometimes it's taken to the umpteenth degree. We need to listen to this Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is an incredible tool that He's given us. And some of us have put Him aside and said, oh no, that's not for right now for me, no. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them who love Him. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God reveals things through His Holy Spirit and gives us that opportunity. And a lot of times He uses His Word to speak to us through His Holy Spirit. So these things in tandem, whether it be prayer, whether it be reading His Word, or whether it be listening to His Spirit, all together help us walk as into the light. Those are the three things we need to do. We need to have this first thing is walking in goodness, which is walking in love. Second thing is walking in righteousness. We do that by praying, by reading His Word, and by listening to His Holy Spirit. The third thing is truth. Walking in truth. This is primarily our personal integrity. These are things that we can't buy at Walmart. It's not for sale there. You won't find it on the grocery aisle. Who are you when no one's looking? When you think no one ever will know? What activity do we have on the computer? If we are to see the history of what happens on our computer, does it honor God? Does it honor our family? How correct were we when we answered our questions on our tax form this year? Where was that? Was everything correct? I believe that we need to give an honest day's work for who we are. When we are there, when we're clocked in, when we're engaged at our work, we need to be men and women of integrity and giving everything we have and not being scattered brains and being somewhere else. And there's times I know that we need to reel ourselves back in with that kind of situation. Students, when it comes to your work, are the answers on your tests your answers? Are the words on the paper that you wrote, are they your words? God has called us to a higher standard as believers and to have a contagious Christianity, to walk as children of light. Paul says that we need to have these three attributes. We need to be walking in goodness, in righteousness, and truth. And if we're not doing these things, we're not walking as children of light, and we're not going to have a contagious Christianity. If someone's seeing your activity on the computer, if someone's seeing you cheating on a test, if someone's seeing you in a place where perhaps you shouldn't be, that's not the contagious Christianity Paul's talking about. I think we need to be reminded to bring ourselves to walk as children of the light. The third thing that Paul says is we need to walk as wise. When it comes down to it, Paul's saying that we need to be purposeful in our walk. Don't just let the day grab a hold of you and miss out on what God has for you as the best. There's times that our American culture especially wraps us up in the rat race, and we kind of just get caught up in it. We just are just going for the 401k and trying to figure out what's happening with those things. And it's not that 401k or retirement's a bad thing. I'm not going there. But sometimes that is our goal and our vision, and that's what the enemy wants us to see. That's not walking as wise. I believe that's a wise way to invest, yes, but I don't believe that that's the way God only wants us to walk. He wants us to walk purposefully. There was a book that I read. It was called Soul Revolution. And if you haven't read it yet, I think I would encourage you to read it. It's a book that revolutionized my life, really. It talked about a man who placed something on his watch to remind him every hour to look at his life and see, what is it, God, that you want me to do at this hour? What is your will for me right now? And I actually, as a study, when it so moved me, I got all my boys a watch with a chime on it. And each hour we committed for,
I think it was 60 days, we said 60 days, every 60 minutes, we're going to try to see what God's will was for our life at that 60-minute time.
Pretty powerful way to look at life. When it comes down to it, we didn't do it during our sleep, by the way. We did sleep through the night. So, but when it came down to it, personally, I don't like going to Walmart. It's something that is a drudgery to me. I go there and I have to jockey for a position with a grocery cart, and it kind of gets my white knuckles. I'm okay driving there. When I get there, it's really challenging for me to go through Walmart with a smile on my face. But when I had this challenge with my boys, and we were going through this situation, my life changed. I didn't see it as trying to get push past this buggy. I saw this young lady or this gentleman as an opportunity of maybe sharing Christ with them. What's going through their mind at this time? Would this be an opportunity perhaps for me to share the gospel? It changes your perspective always. It's walking as wise. One of the greatest illustrations of this, I shared probably back last fall with you guys, with those that were here. It was a lady, her name was, we had a fellowship here at your church. You guys were willing to host us, and we had some of our partners came, and it was great to come over here during the last fall of 2012, and I shared this testimony. But really when it came down to it, Reggie was her name. And Reggie's story is pretty clear that she was walking as wise. Reggie's story started actually with our family, little Joe. At times he doesn't like to go into the children's program, and we're okay with that because, you know what, if he can sit quietly in our service and not be distractive, I'm okay with that. So, Joe, you can sit in our service and do that. It's no problem. So this particular Sunday, we were going to church, and Joe said, you know what, Dad, I really don't want to go to the service, so could I sit in the church service with you? And I said, no problem, yeah, let's do it. Well, if you notice, and it's not by chance, but we sit on the right-hand side towards the front. That's where I feel most comfortable. That's it's a little OCD for me. I'm there. I'm okay. Do you guys have assigned seats in your church here? No? You feel a little more comfortable in certain spots, so I'm sure, unless I'm the only one like that, that's okay. Anyways, when it comes down to it, Joe didn't know my assigned seat. So when we're coming down the center aisle, and we're going towards that right-hand side, well, right-hand side for you guys, and we're about ready to sit down. He said, Dad, could we sit over on the other side over there? Because it would be pretty cool to be able to see the painter, because we had a painter, we still do, who paints the sermon and kind of gives us an illustration of what's happening through art. It was pretty amazing. I like the way Bren illustrates that. Well, I'm the mature adult in our family, so I said, you know what, I think I can accommodate you, Joe. I'll go ahead and we'll sit towards and watch the painter a little bit closer so he could be a little bit more entertained through the service. We sat down towards the front still, which made me feel a little more comfortable. But we sat in front of this couple, this family, and Reggie was one of the ladies' names that sat behind us. And Rachel and Reggie started talking. And we started talking about the camp that we are ministering with, Children's Bible Fellowship. And she's like, oh, that's great, that's wonderful, and this is amazing. You know, she gave us a track. We kind of shared the testimonies of what's going on. And she said, you know what? I'm on vacation from California right now. And we're like, oh, that's neat. That's pretty cool, you know. So you have family in Connecticut? Because we attend in Connecticut because we're on the Connecticut border there. And she said, yeah. She said, I tell you what, before you leave today, I want to go get you a case of Bibles and give it to you to take back to the camp. And I said, Reggie, you're on vacation and you brought a case of Bibles. Something, I mean, I've never done that before. I don't know that many people would do that. It just doesn't make sense to me. But when you're walking as wise, if you're walking purposefully like Reggie was, and like she probably still is today, you're looking for opportunities. And I don't know that, I don't want to get too super spiritual on us this morning, but I wouldn't take it beyond God to get me out of my comfort zone in my little seat and have Joe make us get over there and sit in front of Reggie and get us the opportunity to get these Bibles. After the service, we met with her. We went to her car, got a case of Bibles. I shared with her how these Bibles are going to be able to impact these children's lives, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. She was excited about it. Well, the story doesn't stop there, though. That week, we took those Bibles and we put them in the place where they get distributed throughout the summer. Well, that summer that week, actually, they got shot out everywhere. And Thursday morning, I'm in my office, and Johnny, who is a first-year counselor, okay, he actually came as a camper 6-7 years prior to that, and he had come up through the ranks, and now he's the first year as a counselor. And he's like glowing, it's incredible the smile that he has on his face. It's from ear to ear, and he's just excited. He wants to say something. So he said, "John, let me tell you what happened last night. Let me tell you what happened last night. I had a opportunity to lead someone to the Lord." I said, "Tell me about it. I want to hear about this. Because this happens regularly at camp, and it's great. It's wonderful to hear lives change as a result of it." But Johnny started telling him a story. He said, "The night before, I at chapel, Donovan was sharing out of the Gospels about how the living water would be given to you, and you'd never have to thirst again." And he was like, "Wow, this is incredible. This is great." So what happened is Donovan's speeches on this living water. Now, something I neglected to tell you, honey, inside my bag, I believe I have one of the Bibles in it. I forgot to bring it up here. On this Bible is actually a picture of the living water that Reggie gave me, okay? So Donovan's setting the footwork of this situation. So as it comes down to it, his campers are sitting there on the edge of their seats, and they're ready to go, but then none of them went down. So this is one of the Bibles that Reggie gave me. I've kept it just for illustration purposes. So Johnny says, "You know what? It's my turn tonight to give devos. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and jump on the devotions tonight, and I'm going to say, you know what? We're going to talk about a little bit more about the living water, because he got a hold of one of these Bibles." So he opened up the Bible, and one of his campers actually had one of these Bibles that Reggie gave us. And he started talking about the living water again. And the camper didn't open his Bible. He actually had his Bible down like this. He says, "You know what? I need this living water you're talking about." Now, is it by coincidence that all this happens? Is it by circumstance? I don't think so. I think it's because of someone walking as wise and following God's lead in their life that these kind of things happen. God's best is out there for us. A contagious Christianity is available to us. A contagious Christianity that gives us opportunity to go on vacation and take a case of Bibles with us and be able to pass them out as we go on. I don't know that she was planning to give a case of Bibles to a camp, but she was able to. And as a result, there was children's lives that were changed for all eternity. And there was a first-year counselor that was able to experience that opportunity to lead him to Christ. Paul wrote these words to a church that was healthy for the most part. When it comes down to it, he said, "You know what? You need to be walking in love. You need to be walking in the light. And you need to be walking as wise." God's not called you just to walk aimlessly. We need to be walking purposefully. There was a statement that I have that is timeless. Charles Stanley said it. And I love Charles Stanley. It says this: The time you spend alone with God will transform your character and increase your devotion. Then your integrity and godly behavior in an unbelieving world will make others long to know the Lord." I'll read that again. The time you spend alone with God will transform your character and increase your devotion. Then your integrity and godly behavior in an unbelieving world will make others long to know the Lord. Basically, they're going to say, "Take me to your leader. Who are you following? I want to follow that person. I want to become more like them."
So that is the scriptures that I wanted to share with you tonight, today. Let's bow in prayer and ask God's blessings upon this word that He's given us. God, I am so grateful for Your word. Lord, You're so good. How many times do I need to be reminded? Probably two or three times a day, how to walk properly, to have a contagious Christianity. Lord, don't stop reminding me. And Lord, those of us here, I pray that You just help encourage us. Lord, encourage us to be those people with Jesus with skin on. So others around will be one and say, what is this You have? I want to know about this. I don't understand it myself, but I want You to take me to Your leader in some way. Father God, I pray that You just encourage each one of us this morning to walk in love with one another, to walk in light, to have integrity, to show righteousness, to be in communion with You, and to walk as wise, Lord. We thank You so much for Your word, and I pray that it just come and be planted in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.